Let's do this. Kaylee Scheller reporting with today's top stories.
An Indiana lawmaker at the center of groping allegations lodged against Republican Attorney General Curtis Hill has come forward. Democratic State Representative Mara Candelaria Reardon published her own account of the March 15th incident, which occurred at an Indianapolis state bar, in the Northwest Indiana Times newspaper. She said Hill leaned toward her, put his hand on her back, slid it down, and grabbed her buttocks. The Munster lawmaker says she told Hill to, quote-unquote, back off, but he approached her again later in the night, put his hand on her back, and said, quote, that skin, that back. Candelaria Reardon called on all Indiana residents of goodwill to demand Hill's resignation. She said she is speaking out now to support other women who have accused Hill of groping them that night. Hill says he will not step down amid the allegations made against him, despite a surge of public officials from both parties calling for the Republican to resign. Hill, a former Elkhart County prosecutor, said in a defiant statement posted to Twitter Friday afternoon that he has been, quote, falsely accused of some of the same crimes I spent 28 years prosecuting. He called for an investigation by the Marion County Prosecutor's Office into groping allegations against him, made by a lawyer and three legislative aides. The claims made against Hill were included in a confidential legislative memo that was leaked to the media. But another woman who says Hill inappropriately touched her has come forward, citing Candelaria Reardon's courage, who earlier went public with her story, as well as Hill's refusal to resign. Gabrielle McLemore, a spokeswoman for the Indiana Senate Democrats, told the Associated Press on Friday that the Republican approached, asked, "Do you know who I am?" and cornered her at a bar after the state legislative session came to a close in March. She said he proceeded to massage her back while she worried what people who witnessed it would think. Eventually, she mouthed the words, "Help me," to her intern, who interjected by asking McLemore if she wanted to go to the bathroom. McLemore said she never wanted to come forward, but she said Hill's repeated denials were frustrating. She also wants to set an example for other women so that they, quote, don't feel they have to hide, so that they don't feel they did something wrong. A white man who challenged a black family's use of a gated pool in a North Carolina neighborhood has not only resigned from the Homeowners Association board, he's also lost his job. Sunoco announced Friday that Adam Bloom is no longer employed by the Packaging and Industrial Products Company, saying it doesn't condone discrimination of any kind, even if it happens outside its workplace. A video posted by Jasmine Apuliman on Facebook on July 4th, seen more than 4 million times, shows what happened after Bloom questioned whether she was allowed to bring her son into the pool in the Winston-Salem neighborhood. Bloom also called the police. In a police recording released Friday, Bloom is heard calmly telling a dispatcher he's dealing with a, quote, non-resident that's at the pool who refuses to leave. We're just asking for a form of identification. But Bloom was wrong about his neighbor. According to county property records, Apuliman owns a home with her husband in the development, just a few blocks away. In the video, Bloom, Apuliman, and the responding officers all speak in measured tones. She accuses him of singling out her and her young son as African Americans by asking to see her ID. Bloom, who served as chairman of the Glen Ridge community's private pool, responds that he asks pool users to see their identification, quote-unquote, a couple of times each week. Officers then determine that Apuliman did in fact have keycard access to the gated pool. An officer apologizes to her, and when Apuliman asks Bloom for an apology, he walks away. On Facebook, Apuliman accused Bloom of racial profiling, saying, quote, this is a classic case of racial profiling in my $500,000 neighborhood pool. This happened to me and my baby today. What a shame. The social media backlash was fierce and soon targeted Bloom's employer. In a Twitter post, South Carolina-based Sunoco apologized to Apuliman and said the situation doesn't reflect company values. The statement said, quote, we are aware of a terrible incident involving the actions of one of our employees outside the workplace. The statement said, adding that the, quote, employee is no longer employed by the company in any respect. Growing up in eastern China, Pan Xu Zhao fell in love with America. He read the Bible his parents gave him, watched Hollywood movies, and studied the ideals of democracy. He jumped at the chance to attend graduate school at Texas A&M University. In 2016, Zhao enlisted in the U.S. Army as part of a special recruitment program offering immigrants in the country legally a path to citizenship. The future, he said, was bright. Now he is one of the dozens of immigrant recruits and reservists struggling with abrupt, often unexplained military discharges and canceled contracts. They traded being willing to risk their lives for the prospect of U.S. citizenship, a time-worn exchange that's drawn linguists, medical specialists, and thousands of other immigrants to the military since the Revolutionary War. Zhao told the Associated Press on Friday, quote, it's just like you're dropped from heaven to hell. It's unclear how many men and women who enlisted through the special recruitment program have been ousted from the Army, but immigration attorneys told the AP that they know of more than 40 recruits who recently have been discharged or whose status has become questionable. Some recruits say they were given no reason for their discharge. Others said the Army informed them they'd been labeled as security risks because they have relatives abroad or because the Defense Department had not completed background checks on them. The Pentagon said Friday that there has been no policy change since last year when Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said no one could enter basic training without completion of a background investigation. And Army spokeswoman Cynthia O. Smith said that any enlistee entering the military undergoes security screenings. Smith said, quote, "Each recruit undergoes an individualized suitability review, and the length of time for the review is dependent upon each individual's unique background." Zhao, who is 31, said his ship-out date to basic training was delayed for 2 years as he underwent background checks, counterintelligence interviews, and rigorous reviews added as requirements for immigrant enlistees. He continued to pursue his PhD in geography at Texas A&M, but also hit the gym, prepping for boot camp. And he trained in uniform with his unit. He had military identification and healthcare, he said. In April, Zhao visited Washington, D.C. for the first time, touring the White House and visiting the Republican National Committee. That same month, he got word from his unit commander. He was being discharged. He was told simply that his discharge was, quote-unquote, uncharacterized. Zhao said, quote, "I'm not a national threat. On the contrast, I'm a national merit because people like me with higher education and critical skills, we want to serve this great U.S. Army. I'm a good scientist, no matter what." To become citizens, immigrant recruits are required to have served honorably for 180 days, but the recently discharged members have had their basic training delayed so that they can't be naturalized. Immigration attorneys told the AP that many immigrants let go in recent weeks received an uncharacterized discharge, which is neither dishonorable nor honorable. Thai authorities overseeing the rescue operation for 12 boys and their soccer coach trapped in a flooded cave in the country's north said they have a limited amount of time to get them out, as they raced Friday against worsening weather and lowered oxygen levels in the underground complex. The massive operation inside and around the cave in Chiang Rai province suffered its first fatality Friday when a former Thai Navy SEAL passed out underwater on an overnight mission and was unable to be revived. A Thai SEAL commander told a news conference, quote, "We can no longer wait for all conditions to be ready because circumstances are pressuring us. We originally thought the boys can stay safe inside the cave for quite some time, but circumstances have changed. We have a limited amount of time." The oxygen levels inside the cave were getting lower because of all the workers inside, and authorities were working to run an oxygen line inside that complex that was in addition to the oxygen canisters used by divers. A senior army commander said that the most pressing mission right now is to provide an oxygen line to reach the kids, who are stuck deep in the complex but are being looked after by four SEALs, including a medic. He said the oxygen line is also tied to a telephone line that will provide a channel of communication for the kids. The boys, aged 11 through 16, and their 25-year-old coach went exploring in the cave after a soccer game on June 23rd. Monsoon flooding cut off their escape and prevented rescuers from finding them for almost 10 days, as the only way to reach them was by navigating a series of dark and tight passageways filled with muddy water and strong currents. Authorities have been racing to pump out water from the cave before more storms hit the region in the coming days and send water levels rising again. At this time, though, the only way for the boys to get out of the cave is by diving, something cave rescue experts warn is extremely dangerous, even for those with experience. Friday's death of the former SEAL underscores those risks. The diver was working in a volunteer capacity and died during an overnight mission in which he was placing oxygen canisters along the route divers must take to get the children. The strategically placed canisters allow divers to stay underwater for longer during what is about a 5-hour trip to reach the stranded team. While underwater, the rescuer passed out and efforts to resuscitate him failed. A Navy official said that he did not believe the man's oxygen tank ran out. A Thai SEAL commander said, quote, "Despite this, we will continue until we accomplish our mission." The governor has said the 13 may not be extracted at the same time depending on their condition. The boys are weak, but for the most part, physically healthy. They've practiced wearing diving masks and breathing in preparation for the diving possibility. All right, guys, that's all I got for now. Make sure to tune in tomorrow morning for the latest. This is Kaylee Chella, signing off.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.